When you talk to people in various denominations, a lot is talked about, a lot is mentioned about the topic of the grace of God. And strong emphasis is placed on God's grace. In particular, a very commonly cited verse is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and starting at verse 8. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." And the grace is so emphasized, it's basically any mention of people needing to accept the offer. Well, strong objections are made oftentimes. The belief is that no work of man is accepted as affecting man's salvation. And yet at the same time, the Bible is very clear that it is the obedient who are saved. Take a look in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Now, looking at Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 says that grace comes through faith. But where does faith come from? Well, a lot of the denominations will tell you that faith is something that's imposed on the individual. God puts that there so that you may believe. But a person can't believe unless God makes them believe. But we look at like passages where Paul talks in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith is not something that's imposed, but rather is something that develops because one's listening to what God teaches and reading the scriptures. Well, that's something I have to do. That's something I need to do. In fact, Jesus demands in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" It's those who do the will of the Father who reach heaven. In fact, in another place, Jesus tells us, how do we express love? How do we say that we really love Christ? Well, in John chapter 14, John 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." How do I express love to God? Doing what God says. Again, that's an emphasis on my doing, my being obedient. In fact, in that very passage that is so often cited, if we just read one more verse, going back to Ephesians chapter 2, and we read verses 8 and 9, but if we look at verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." God expects us to work. Not just whatever works I want to make up, but the works that God has prepared. These are the things that I am required to do. In fact, a lot of people don't realize it, but faith itself is a work. It is something that comes from what I do. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 28, therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. If work wasn't required by man, then even faith, which grace, we're saved by grace through faith, even faith is a work that God requires of us. It's something I'm required to do. But looking at God's grace, Paul said God's grace brings us salvation. In fact, in Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, and starting at verse 11, says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. God's grace brings us salvation. Well, when we talk about grace, we're talking about a gift. Something that's not earned, but is offered to us. God's grace is giving us salvation. Well, how many sources of salvation are there? Well, there can be only one. And that's why Jesus, as we mentioned earlier, but in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is just a narrow way, one way, to gain salvation. And it has to be God's way. Because God is giving us the gift of salvation. We cannot create our own way. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 4, Paul gives a list of seven wants. And he says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is only just one faith. There's only one system of belief. Salvation comes because of God's grace. God's offering us a gift, but it comes through faith, our response to his gift, his offer. And that faith then comes from the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and to also to the Greek. The gospel is also then a gift of God. We don't often think about it that way. God offers salvation. He says there's only one way that we can gain that salvation. He doesn't leave us guessing. So he gives us instructions for how we might be saved. And so God's grace teaches us. It tells us how to live. It lays the requirements on us. It restrains us from doing things that are harmful. Now, is that done directly? Does God open up your brains and scoop in with righteousness in there? No, it's done by reading God's word. You know, a person who has God's grace still needs the Bible. You can't gain salvation without what God has taught, because that is a gift of God also. Take a look at what Paul and Barnabas said in Acts chapter 13 and in verse 43. Acts chapter 13, verse 43 says, "Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God." They needed to stay in God's grace. How? The very next verse tells us, in verse 44, "The next Sabbath near the holy city it came to assemble to hear the word of the Lord." Continue in the grace of God. Learn what God has offered us. And take a look at what Jesus said in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and in verse 31. "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine.'" We have to stay in God's word. Just as Paul and Barnabas taught to say they needed to continue in the grace of God, and then taught them the scriptures. Jesus said we need to stay within his words. Continue. It's not a one-time, you know, it's not like a lot of my students do with their final exams. Cram just the night beforehand, take the exam and forget all about it. No, we stay in God's word. We learn it. It becomes a part of our lives. We continue our lives in it. So God's grace also then puts us under law. There are not two sources of teaching, a limited one only known to a few and a general one known by everybody. There are not two sources of salvation. Salvation is given to only a few and general one given to everybody. There are not two faiths, there's one faith. And since Jesus redeemed us from every lawless deed, take a look at Titus chapter 2 to show that point. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." Now, if we're purified from every lawless deed, then it means we're under a law. It comes back to doing what God said. And in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians 6 and verse 2, it says, "Bearing one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Christ has a law. There was a fad about a decade ago. People were running around saying there was really no law, just suggestions on what we should do. No, the Bible talks about the law of Christ, the law that we live under. And it's by that law that we are judged. In James chapter 2, James chapter 2 and in verse 12, "So speak and so act as those who are being judged by the law of liberty." Our lives are being judged by God's law. That's the law that we are expected to live under. That's the law that we are being taught by God's grace. And it's because of that that God is able to offer us salvation. And God's grace is a gift that's extended to those who don't even deserve it. That's one of the aspects of grace. It's a gift that you don't earn. And some people don't even deserve the gift, yet it's offered. God offered mankind love and salvation. He didn't have to. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, and in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God did not have to. We were sinners. We were enemies of God, but God chose to send his Son to die on our behalf so that we might have salvation. God didn't have to, but he taught us how to be saved and how to live pleasing in his sight. He didn't leave us guessing. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. When we talk about the grace of God, a lot of times we talk about it as if it's just one thing. But it has a lot of different aspects. There's a lot of different gifts being offered. God's grace is Christ dying for us. God's grace is Christ's law that was given to us. God's grace is the eternal life that he's offering. In Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the righteousness that he declares us to be, again, is not because we earned it, but because God gives it as a gift. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. But that gift is being handed, but we got to accept it. If we don't obey, we are rejecting God's gift. And we end up being lost. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Christ is coming, and the question is, are we obeying what God has given us? Jesus offers the water of life. Take a look at John 4 and verse 14. When he talked to the woman at the well. John 4 and verse 14, he says, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. But did you notice the beginning of that? Jesus is offering us water that's eternal life, but it has to be drunk. He's not forcing it in our mouths. We have to accept it. And that's what it requires of us, is that's why we have to obey what God has taught. And so when we talk about grace, it's not a single item. It's just not salvation alone. is all the things that God has given us, including God's Word. And so therefore we need to learn then to grow in grace. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." God has offered a gift, but that gift affects all aspects of our lives. We didn't deserve it. None of us can say God owes it to us. But he's freely giving it to us that we might be saved, but there's expectations on our part. God expects us to obey what he's taught us. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here this evening who has not yet become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, we offer that time right now if you come forward as we stand and sing the song, Selected.